Jazz, we're still here. This is a show with two of us try to figure out what the third of us is topicking. I don't know. It's week 57 of the coronavirus. I've been in quarantine since 2001. I don't know what's going on anymore.
19th month of the year 2020.
Yeah.
It's May. Apparently.
Is it? Yeah.
It's cold outside.
Oh, Gary.
Which, what the hell is that?
And by cold, you mean like 67?
It was 59 when I took the dog for a walk this morning. You know, I don't put on shoes for that. Often not, no shirt either. So that's
meanwhile, 50 degrees here means like, woo, t-shirts, sandals.
It's been warm here. I don't know. Sorry.
It's actually been kind of nice here too. So.
Although it was cold the other day in our house. The downstairs has, I don't know if it's just really well insulated or what, but like because it was cold like on Monday, on Tuesday it was freezing in here, even though it was like 70, 80 degrees outside. It was like 65 in the house and I'm still like with pants and a sweatshirt all bundling up and I don't want to turn on the heater because it's stupid. So I feel like my perception of what's going on outside is skewed. Which, I mean, I guess is a general, how I feel generally too.
You're like, oh, so this is just par for the course.
Yep.
We'll just launch into today's topic.
Cool.
You may or may not know. I don't know. I don't have as much social contact as I'm used to having. The like two people I used to see a week.
I was going to say that you give off the impression of someone who's just so socially active generally. I'm sort of, yeah.
Just my social butterfly emerging from its cocoon. But let's not discount all that barista contact.
Fair point.
Real human beings. So I feel like my topic list is dwindling because I'm not...
had less opportunity for things to come up organically.
Yeah, like it's so I'm having to scamper a bit more and being like, maybe? I'm like, this is a word I didn't know before. So today's topic is panopticon.
Oh, okay. I need to pull up my stupid stuff, but panopticon.
Panopticon. Your stupid stuff?
No, well, I mean, my binary jazz stuff, which is not...
No, I get what you're saying. Jeez.
Wow. How do we rate?
Huh.
Also for our YouTube watchers, Chris has like the most ambient workspace right now.
It's crazy how there's like the transition from sunlight to like depth from his left to right.
It reminds me of, I don't know if you ever flew Virgin Airlines, but it reminds me when you got on those planes that they had like the pink lighting. And I was like, I'm not cool enough to fly this plane.
Panopticon.
1 1 0 1 1 colon, I guess. Panopticon.
Have you ever heard it before?
Yes.
Gary looked mad at me.
No, I've heard it, and I don't know what it is. It's.
Yeah, I'm like on the verge of Googling it because I should know what it is.
That's cheating.
I know it is, but like that's like when a word is like that on the edge of my like knowledge, like it's hard to like resist the urge to just like, oh, what does that thing mean? I know what that means. I just need to refresh my memory, and I'm
That's exactly how I was when it was brought up to me. In my household as a potential topic.
Pan is like many.
Right? Opti means eyeball.
Yeah, but I don't...
I think it's a pop star with multiple eyeballs.
Have you seen Panopticon live?
Can I sidebar really quick? I
have Panopticon Live sounds like something that you would see at a comic book convention.
Yeah, and they would hand you like the polarized 3D glasses as you walk in.
Gary, to answer your question, the whole podcast is a sidebar.
You almost saw me spit take.
Good.
Almost a spit take.
And we would have had to edit the video so it came out like a rainbow. That was almost two. That was really neat. Please don't choke. I can't do anything about it remotely.
I like to think we all have members of our household that would do something about it eventually, but luckily.
Apparently this show is dangerous.
Yeah, we need to put a warning on this.
Don't drive during...
Yeah, also
where driving is fine, just don't drink.
Yeah.
Well, or stay home. It's a pandemic. Damn it.
But people still drive.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't have a car.
What's your sidebar, Gary?
Yeah. Oh.
We've sidebarred you.
I forgot
your sidebar.
That sounds painful. I worked on a client project, I don't know, a while back. And I was added to their Cloudflare account. Cloudflare has this thing, like there are certain things that change that you can't opt out of email for, like changes to SSL and some other odds and ends, which means I occasionally get these emails that I can't unsubscribe from. I can't remove myself from. I just have to suffer with these emails for a domain that I could not care less about. Let me read you the title of this one. Certificate Transparency Notification. Hi, Cloudflare has observed issuance of the following certificate or one of its subdomains, blah, blah, blah. It's, I can't think about it. I just got to be aware that some certificate is not translucent or whatever that thing said.
That's okay. I'm still getting emails from a site I worked on from an agency that shall remain nameless because they won't remove me as a user off the site and they wouldn't let me use my work email in the first place, which is why I'm receiving these emails. So I have this constant reminder.
As spam.
I know. But it's
fun. Are you a Gmail user? No.
The problem is they're from WP Engine, so I don't want all WP Engine emails to be marked as spam because I have other ones that are actual clients.
I wonder if you could contact WP Engine and be like, hey.
I tried and they said I had to contact the actual user. But they're too busy.
Well,
the email takes
an awful...
The fact that they haven't removed you, I mean, it's not
neither here
not
nor there.
Not surprising at all, and yeah, but that should be a thing that gets done. Like if a person leaves a company, we've run into that at HumanMade several times recently. We have like a formal documented offboarding process and have had to revisit it because we were one of our engineering managers was using his Zoom account for various meetings because he had a pro account. And he left to go to Allie. And we said, oh, yeah, we'll change those. And everybody assumed that somebody did, but nobody actually did. So then we were on a call, like one of our normal weekly calls, and he pops on and we're like, hi. And he's like, hi.
This is my room.
And then a whole bunch of Valley people pop on and we're like, oh shit.
It's like a weird, like,
so rad.
Like, he's like, it's nice seeing you all. Now get off my call.
Like the Sharks versus the Jets.
I love it. I love it.
What a virtual rumble.
Yeah. So that was one of the things. That's only one of these small things that has happened that has taught us to offboard our fucking shit.
Yeah. Well, you haven't, to be honest, like, you guys, like, you haven't had to. Really?
Yeah, there hasn't been a ton of people. I mean, there's been more in the last couple of years since I've been here than there has been in, like, the history of the company.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like, the history, a lot of the stuff shifts, of the company. Right? Hmm?
A lot of stuff shifts, right? Like, it's not necessarily, it's just people, I don't know. Things change.
Yeah. The history of the company, I think, had like two people leave ever before I joined, so that's not really saying much.
That's weird.
Yeah.
But good?
It's, yeah, I mean, I think we're getting to a point where because the company is evolving, there's more, a little bit more like natural turnover, but it's still less common than probably other places. Mm-hmm. But it's like, it's getting to the point where, like, now it's a normal-ish thing.
Mm-hmm. It's not gasp-worthy of...
Yeah.
Well, Are you big into, like, SSO stuff? Does that make it any easier that, like, access to everything is via, like...
No.
Okay. That helps. I mean, at least, you know, a little bit. It helps.
Yeah, it's more... It's less that stuff and more, where a single individual took ownership of a particular like account from some third party thing that then needs to be transitioned over. And like, because that one, and it was because that developer was a lead on whatever project. And then we shared it in one password. And so it became like company property, but it's still attached to one mm-hmm. person. Yeah. Case sure. in point is I, there's like, this, real stock ticker API that yes. That I had to sign up for because I was a lead on a project, because the old API was like deprecated. So in order to update, I had to make a new account on their new API, which was then a subscription thing. So I created the account to get in there. And then, you know, my PM went in and did all the payment stuff, and then we forwarded that on to the client, whatever. And then the client decides that ultimately the client wanted to part ways, so then we needed to transition all that stuff over to them. And so, like, the account is still in my name and all that stuff, and so we need to sort of figure out a way to, like, offload it to them, that sort of thing. Or, like, yeah. MailChimp email lists and stuff like that that we set up for them, and yeah.
I was just remarking to someone yesterday how awesome it must have been for the people at Mandrill when MailChimp acquired them, and they were like, we're already a monkey. We're already a monkey company. Like, we didn't even need to, like, get new business cards. Like,
it's perfect.
Yeah.
Did Mandrill exist before MailChimp?
Yeah, Mandrill was its own standalone service before MailChimp acquired them.
I always assumed that Mandrill was just, like, a side project of MailChimp.
No.
Huh.
No.
Because like it's overlapping so much that like I just assume that they were always one.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know the entire history. Maybe they spawned off of MailChimp. I mean, but like they were two different services you paid for at some point, and then MailChimp picked it up. And I used to have an account at both.
Yeah, I mean, they're still kind of two services, although they just use one login. But you can do the one thing and not really the other.
The whole transactional email thing is such a scam.
Is it? Tell me about how it's a scam. There's a story there.
No, I just think it's just crazy that I have to pay a service to ensure delivery to like the big players like you know, Microsoft and Google and, well, AOL and Yahoo, I guess. I don't know. But like, you know, like so that my stuff ends up in someone's inbox and not marked as spam, I have to use some third party. Like, that's a scam. Like, sure, you could set your own like DKIM up and all that kind of stuff, and you could do all the other odds and ends that validate. But more and more, these things have been layered on. And, you know, are we any better at stopping spam? No. There's millions of spam messages in my spam folder. So these things are not effective, you know? Like, if they were effective, we would not have spam. But instead, no, it's just one more thing that you need to do to prove that you're legit beyond what's reasonable for a small business, you know, which is why these transactional email companies exist. I guess it's a dumb argument, because it would be like, well, AT&T is a scam because I have to pay to, you know, why can't I put like a phone thing in my closet? I guess you could, but
just, I mean, it's more than just ensuring that your stuff doesn't show up. It's more than just ensuring that your stuff doesn't show up in the spam box, though. It's you can track whether or not people have opened it. You can track whether like it actually reached its destination or got bounced. I mean, there's other things involved.
All stuff you should be able to roll yourself, though.
Yes, all stuff you should be able to roll yourself. But it's got a pretty interface. It's got a pretty dashboard.
It does have a pretty dashboard. Yeah, I will give it that.
Out there that aren't going to roll it themselves. Can we just take a minute?
I mean,
oh, totally. I'm not going to. I'm just going to complain about it. But I'm saying that the whole email system is broke. And to that end, like, I guess it's not even really spam. It's really more the blacklisting. Having been on the side of an email server that was blacklisted, we weren't doing anything nefarious. It was legit, like sending like receipts and tracking numbers and stuff, and we were blacklisted, so we hopped over to Mandrill and had to pay to send it out, and it was a big increase in expense that we weren't expecting. Big increase, you know, like $40 a month or something insane like that. Jeez,
the panopticon of expenses.
Oh, maybe it means big. I would watch a movie with that title.
Panopticon of expenses.
You've no, definitely
just Panopticon.
Have you seen it in a movie? It depends on what movies you're watching. You might have seen a Panopticon in a movie at some point.
It's many things. Many something.
Eyeballs. That,
which is
many eyeballs.
Which is basically, which is basically what we established early in the show. Yeah.
No.
gotten exactly from here to here.
Elton John's eyewear.
Panopticon.
A panoply. What's a panoply, Gary?
It's a board game that takes forever to complete.
That's a... Never mind.
I was going to say it's multiple Monopoly games put together.
Ooh, yeah, that would be,
you know,
horrible.
When chess masters play multiple people at the same time, it's like that, yeah, with Monopoly. Panopoly. It really sucks. Yeah.
Well, wait, if Monopoly means that they're like a single ownership of a lot of things, then Panopoly would mean like
a pineapple of
multiple things. Like the opposite of Monopoly, because mono versus pan.
Yeah. Well, duopoly is two, so panoply. Yeah, okay. I like where you're going with this. A panopticon is a doctor's office that has multiple doctors in it. Eye doctors. I'm gonna go to the panopticon today.
I feel like, although
that was a reach.
Although optic is part of the word and does mean eye stuff, I feel like you're getting hung up on the eye part of panopticon, and I don't know that is where that part of the word is coming from this time.
The word optic is literally in the middle of it, Chris.
I realize that.
Okay.
I am aware.
Wait,
of...
actually, I say that. Did we actually have it spelled?
Pan and optic and on, I believe, is how
yes.
you spell it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well.
But it would be funny if this whole time I'm just sitting here being like, well, I didn't ask, so I'm just going to run with it.
Yeah, you're not even close. There's a silent W. Three R's in a row. I don't even know how to pronounce that. Like, do you roll it? I'm not sure.
The silent J.
Yeah.
Panopticon.
Dang, the birds are active today. Must be the weather. It's so cold.
That was a segue.
I saw two birds fly by. I don't know if you've noticed, but everything is shifted in my packing. I got rid of my extra monitor. So now I'm looking directly. The geometry of my communication is off. Struggling here.
The geometry of your, okay.
Well, usually you're there.
Yeah.
But I feel kind of like a jerk looking over there. Not when I was distracted by the birds, obviously, but generally, I feel like a jerk looking over there.
Wait, so you packed your other monitor, so you only have just the monitor on your laptop?
Correct.
Whereas before, you had a separate monitor.
Correct.
That had all other stuff.
So in your head, do we only live on one monitor?
I mean, in my head, you only live on one of my monitors. I have a monitor over here, but you're not over there. You're right here.
I very rarely would put meetings on the other monitor. Meetings always were on this monitor.
Oh,
because that's where the camera was. And so
yeah,
I could make eye contact.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which meant it was very obvious when I was working on something else.
I always put the Zoom window on this screen because this is where the camera is.
Yeah.
Maybe that's
And to make it even weirder. I'm using my
Panopticon is the usage of multiple monitors
instead of my normal laptop.
The misdirect on eye contact when you look at the wrong monitor.
I hate that cat.
I'll take her.
Well, it's a him, but I'll pack him
up. I'll take him.
I have boxes. I'll ship them to you.
Not sure he would survive the trip. Maybe.
Oh, no, this cat would survive. This cat will never die. This cat would be fine. Cat would come out stronger. I wouldn't want to be the person who opens the box, but... Actually, a couple days ago, the cat was... I don't know what was happening. Jude was sleeping, and the cat, like, jumped up to where Jude was, and I don't know if, like, jumped on Jude or what, but Jude got all mad and, you know, and, like, he didn't really bite the cat, but like put his mouth around the cat. Like, don't mess with me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, look, asshole. You're like 8 times the size of the cat. Quit it. You know? I say that. I think he's only 4 and a half times.
Show who's boss once in a while.
Well, that cat sure has. When they were younger, Jude would come and like, you know, nose the cat's belly 3 or 4 times and the cat would finally just get pissed and like, whap, like right in the nose. I mean, drew blood a couple times. Dog would always yelp and come running over to me like, you'll never believe what the cat did. Like, get out of here.
I'll believe it.
It was a panopticon.
It was a panopticon.
Yeah. I saw on, I think it was Twitter, someone posted that, I don't remember when, like 1500s. People would rent pineapples for parties.
Wait, what?
Pineapples were, right? Oh, yeah.
Pack that one
pineapples
up.
Were like a very exotic fruit, so people would rent them just to display them at parties. I'm so baller, I got a pineapple.
But like but not to eat them.
No, they're too expensive to eat. You would just display the thing and then return it when you were done. Is that insane?
Isn't that wild? Isn't there a shelf life?
Pineapples last a pretty long time without being...
You're like, this moldy pineapple is a deal.
Aged to perfection. Get a nice pineapple-y nose on it.
You heard it here first, folks, listeners to Binary Jazz. Let us know about all of your pineapple renting experiences.
If someone was alive,
if you donate $50 to us, we will send you a pineapple.
Yeah, we'll figure out a way.
We'll figure it out.
We'll make it happen.
Even if it's made out of paper.
Yeah, could you origami a pineapple? That'd be a pretty neat origami. Is that what you call
I'm sure
single
someone
fold, single
could.
Thing? Is it an origami? Is it?
I personally cannot, but I'm sure someone
Yeah, could. I can't either.
I mean, I've seen those sort of like paper
like the party.
Sculpture things that you like open up and it like comes out.
Not quite what I was thinking, shape. But all right, we can live with that. Yeah. It's gonna be cheaper to mail that.
It's kind of origami-ish.
Sort of.
Yeah. Yeah. Is a panopticon like a cornucopia?
Yes, that's what I'll say. Yes, sure.
Okay.
What's a cornucopia?
It's that horned thing that has fruit falling out of it that you see around, when do you see it? Thanksgiving? U.S. Thanksgiving. Is that the cornucopia?
You only see cornucopias?
Well, at elementary school,
everyone knows that the cornucopia is the thing in the Hunger Games where all the weapons and stuff are stored. So at the beginning of the Hunger Games, you have to make a mad dash to the cornucopia to get the stuff so you can kill all the other Hunger Games contestants.
I don't know why I don't remember those books very well. I read them while I was traveling. Maybe it was like jet lag. I just didn't. But you're right. You're right. I stand corrected.
But a panopticon is not that.
It might be. You don't know that.
Panopticon, the panopticon is the weird stadium that the Hunger Games take place in. UHF, but that's the wrong thing.
that's
the Ultimate Fighting Champ, UFC, where they have the octagon. It's the panopticon.
How many sides does it have then?
Many. Many-sided object! That's what it is. It's a many-sided object. Panopticon.
All of our geometry teacher listeners are just loving this.
Well, it's all right. You know, school year is almost over. They're working from home, so they're drunk.
And not wearing pants. That's not
true. I apologize if I insulted you if you're a geometry teacher. Drinks are on me next time we meet.
You heard it here first, Binary Jazz listeners. If you are a geometry teacher and you meet Gary in the wild, drinks are on him.
Only if you were insulted by the panopticon conversation.
Nope, that was not specified.
Do we know many geometry teachers? Do you know any?
I haven't known a geometry teacher since I was in high school.
Yeah. Allison?
Yeah, I think all my teacher friends are not geometry teachers, unless maybe it's included in regular math. But they're like more generalized teachers, generally.
Yeah.
Generally.
Generalized teachers, generally.
So real life geometry recently, in response to the, God bless, that's another cloud for notification. in response to the pandemic, to help heal us all. The Blue Angels will be flying over select cities, and Jacksonville is one of them on Friday, tomorrow.
Are they going to be dropping vaccines? Like, how is that?
No. I think that they will be literally flying over. That's
bringing good cheer, like Santa and his sleigh.
Perhaps. Where should we try and observe from? Because they've released the flight path. Okay, cool. Flight path released. I don't know. Like, there's a bunch of assumptions. Like, well, what altitude will they be flying at? Like, and then, so using the Pythagorean theorem, we have mapped out several empty parking lots that I mapped out several empty parking lots that I think might make sense. But they also have like the entrance and exit time of the flight path. So you have to kind of extrapolate from there. Like, when should you be this empty parking lot?
You should just bring a little picnic and
I feel like that's more advanced. I think that is like trigonometry. Not that I've ever taken trigonometry, but like I feel like that's not just geometry.
When you start combining
like time.
Yeah, you're combining time and
space
placements.
Yeah.
Well, you know, as a dabbler in orbital dynamics.
As a back alley astronaut.
Back alley astronaut, yeah. I'm glad we could bring that back in. It's been
tomorrow they are shooting photos of this house, and my space helmet is on the top of Tyler's bed, and that's the one thing I am really excited about, being the photos.
I'm surprised you haven't used that as like a mask.
like going outside.
Wouldn't that be cool walking around and like, yeah. And I get it to pay and I push the visor pops up so I can bend my pin and pop the visor back down.
Has the, so I very little has reached my ears about how shitty things are in Florida right now, but a few things have. And one of those things, besides everybody just going to the beach, is that there's a dude wearing a death costume that is sort of monitoring the beach and telling people that they shouldn't be there. And I was wondering, like, is it just one beach that he goes to? Is it like, is he like traveling along the coast? Has he reached Jacksonville? Like, is he touring?
I'm avoiding the beach? I wouldn't know. The beach thing is really interesting to me. So Jacksonville was called out pretty loudly in the national media when the beaches opened. And looking at photos, like it was sort of like down the beach. From overhead shots, it was really like family groups of people that were pretty well separated, you know, doing activity things. The hanging out on the beach thing is not allowed, and the police are chasing people around. They're taking and like setting up umbrellas and towels and stuff. But the folks that were wandering around, I think it wasn't nearly as compressed as it looked in the photo. In fact, I'm sure that's the case. Now, having said that, I'm not going to the beach. But were I to live near the beach, like within walking distance, I might have wandered over and looked to see if it was worth, you know, going for a walk with the fam or not, if people were spaced out enough. Because there's at low tide, there's a lot of space. So,
so it's not as now, bad Clearwater as it Beach, looks, is what you're saying.
Yeah. Clearwater Beach had some issues when they opened because they had an open time of like 9 a.m. and people started lining up at the gate. It's like 7:30. Well, all right. All right. Yeah, I think Florida's going to have a pretty pretty massive bounce here soon. I was at Home Depot on Sunday. I needed to go get some stuff to finish the house to sell it. And I was like, I pulled in the parking lot. It was as packed as I've ever seen it. Mm-hmm. I mean, even after hurricanes. And I'm in the, you know, I'm masked up. And I'm like, I was having this conversation with myself. Like, do I really need this thing to finish? Or can I do it like some other way without having to buy stuff? And it was one thing that I couldn't buy and have in-store pickup. Like I had to go in and get it. They wouldn't offer in-store pickup or, you know, parking lot pickup. So I finally decided, all right, I'm going to go and get it. And I mean, it was like, it was packed. People were not keeping distance at all. So I took the long way around. I had to go over to lumber. And so I cut through plumbing. I mean, the weird plumbing stuff, not like, you know, decorative sinks, but like the plumbing stuff that no one's there to buy anyway. Yeah. And then, made my way end around and then came to the front and saw these massive lines for like self-checkout, thinking that would be safer. And then ended up going to in-person checkout where they have Home Depot has installed buffet sneeze guards and stacked buckets to keep people physically distant from the counter, which I thought was brilliant. I mean, if Home Depot has anything, it's buckets. And they're orange. So, you can't miss them.
So that actually leads me to a question that Aaron had for you, Gary. And since we're into the questions section of the show, we might as well ask it here. So you're packing up, you're getting ready to move. How many buckets is the right amount of buckets to bring to the new house? Like what is the essential number of buckets? And bonus question, can buckets be used instead of moving boxes?
Oh, well, bonus question, the answer is yes, which means the preceding question is all of them because I can pack tools and other odds and ends in them. I have a bucket that has a lot of stuff related to tiling. Are you kidding me, Cloudflare? I have another bucket that has like lawn care stuff that I wouldn't necessarily want to pack in a box, but I may as well take with me, you know? So yes, absolutely, buckets can be used for packing things and they will all be used.
But not like for clothing and stuff, just for like outdoor.
I won't, I won't use them for clothing. I intend to just get rid of clothing and then go thrift shopping.
How many buckets are we talking about here? Like 50?
No, I think I own like 12 maybe.
So 12 is the right number of buckets.
I mean, or less, somewhere in that range.
Somewhere between 12 and less is the right number. Yeah. Fuck it.
But not so, zero. Like,
so I would be at the less category.
Yeah. Before we get too far into this, did we figure out what Panopticon means?
No.
Or are we just not doing that
have
today?
Not. Okay. We have not. Right.
Would we like to know?
I jumped the question before the answer. Yes. Yes. Let's find out what Panopticon is so it won't be bothering me for the rest of the
day. Cliffhanger?
Yeah.
Panopticon is a type of building and a system of control. So it's originally designed for prisoners, so they can all be observed by a single security guard in the middle.
Yep.
And they're all along the outside without the inmates being able to tell if they're being watched or not.
That is fabulous. I'm going to tell my realtor.
Even though it's impossible for the guards. Even though it's impossible for the guard to be observing everybody at once, the inmates don't know this, and so they have to be motivated to act as if they are being watched at all times.
So a panopticon, in a metaphorical sense, is the feeling that you're being watched, even if you might not, like 24/7, even if you might not be watched 24/7. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's
most importantly.
That's probably the context in which I've heard it, and that's probably the reason why I forgot.
Most importantly, it is shaped somewhat like a pineapple.
Yes, it's like the rotunda of...
Yeah.
But
so I wasn't wrong about the Hunger Games stadium being a panopticon, because they were constantly watched.
Exactly.
Yeah, only I know, this I was is like the inverse. Instead of being at the center looking out, like it's... Yeah. Wow. Well, I feel smarter for having...
Now I feel like I need to read the books again just to see if they actually referred to the stadium as a panopticon.
Couldn't you just download the PDFs and search for that word?
That's no fun.
That's no fun.
It's more efficient, though.
Yeah. Yeah. It's more efficient.
Maybe.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, maybe we should just BitTorrent all books that exist and find hits on the word panopticon and then extrapolate context from there.
That is definitely a thing that we could do.
Okay.
I don't know that you'd be able to BitTorrent all books.
There's a fair few books of, like, especially older books that are just like open source.
Hey. Basically. Yeah. You probably couldn't BitTorrent all books.
No, I've tried.
I don't
like, and all books don't deserve to be BitTorrented. That's true. Honest.
Well, and further, some books deserve to not be BitTorrented and purchased.
Yeah, exactly. BitTorrenting books is for like the trash that you know that you don't want to keep.
I you know, like the whole like, oh, I own a copy of it, so I BitTorrent it, right? Like, so I have a digital copy of it. You buy a CD and then that makes it legal to download as opposed to ripping. I have applied the same logic to two computer books, but I purchased the book on Amazon. So I could BitTorrent it and stick it on my Kindle because it wasn't available as a either on Amazon or anywhere else to purchase as a digital book. But someone had it digitally because it was available for Bit. Anyway. Dumb, but here we are.
Yes.
It's this timeline.
Aaron recently decided to get a Kindle. I had been like telling her that she should have a Kindle for like years. And she's like, no. And then she's like, okay, let's try it. And now she like loves it, especially since like we can't go to the library anymore, and we can't like. And then you're buying books all the time, and there's not always the books that you want. You can't always get the like. You can't always BitTorrent all the books because they're just not available. But they are available on Amazon if you or whatever if you want to get them on Kindle. So we did that, and then because we couldn't go to the library and the kids are running out of stuff to read, we got the kids both Kindles. So now they're reading on Kindles. Now we have a whole like collection of Kindles. Yes, a family of Kindles, except for me, because I don't read anything except that doesn't look like something like this.
But that's the only
books that I read.
Yeah. Are they like the e-ink screens, or are they like the Kindle tablets? Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that because the battery lasts for a stupid amount of time.
Yeah, they're the paperweight.
Oh, yeah. I have an old...
Thank you for listening to Binary Jazz. If you like this episode, you can subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and Stitcher. You can visit us online at binaryjazz.us or follow us on Twitter at binaryjazz. Don't forget that you can ask us a question through the form on the website or on Twitter, and we'll read it aloud on the next episode of Binary Jazz.